Okay, good afternoon. Welcome back to the Men's Afternoon Kollel of the Boker Ton Synagogue, the Dr. Yitzhak Belzon Beis Medrash, under the distinguished leadership of Rabbi Simi Shabtai. Rabbi Shabtai, thank you for everything. And as always, we thank the Froelich Financial Group and Avi Froelich for his generosity supporting Talmud Torah in our community. Okay, we're starting a new topic today, and it might be a new theme because we have several shiurim on this topic, but we're going to start with the definition of Bar and Bat Mitzvah. Now, looking at the demographic of those who are learning together with us, it's been a few years maybe since the Bar Mitzvah, but if you can remember your Bar Mitzvah and the Kichel and Herring and the Aliyah that you got and the wonderful celebration of becoming of age, it's not so clear where we have the tradition, why a girl becomes a Bat or Bas Mitzvah at 12, why a boy at 13, and how those dates are meant to be celebrated, how those milestones are meant to be observed. And that is going to be our topic together today. And as I said, there are corollaries of this theme, which maybe we'll continue with. What is the origin of the bracha Baruch Shepitarani? Why do we only say it on the bar mitzvah of a boy, not the bat mitzvah of a girl, and so on and so forth. So any discussion about this, why in a bar and bat mitzvah turn 12 and 13, begins Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, source number one. Hu haya omer ben chamesh shanim lamikra, ben esar shana lamishnah, ben shlosh esrei shana lamitzvos, ben chamesh esra legemar, mishmon esra lechuppah, ben esrim lirdof, shloshim lekoach, and so on and so forth. This Mishnah in Pirkei Avos goes through different age milestones in our lives and acknowledges different cognitive development, different emotional development that takes place, and therefore reflects different stages or identity or statuses in our life. So, at 5, we begin with Chumash. At 10, we begin with Mishnah. 13 is the age of mitzvos. 15, Gemara. 18, one should get married. 20, Lirdov, the Mishnah says. 20 begins to pursue a livelihood. 30, Lekoach, Arbam Labina, Chamishim Le'etza, Shishim Le'zikna, Shivim Le'seva, Shmonim Le'gvura, Tishim Le'suach, Ben Me'aki Ilumeis, Va'avar Ubatam in Ha'olam. We'll leave that last one out. That was true maybe in a time when people had a shorter lifespan. Baruch Hashem, we've celebrated several hundred birthdays in our shul. And when the person got an aliyah on their 100th birthday, I always announce, the good news is, they say, the first 100 years are the hardest. It'll get easy from here on in. So the Mishnah here delineates different ages and the qualities, the character traits, the wisdom, the maturity that a person has associated with those different ages. There's a lot to talk about, not for now. Why has it been 18 l'chuppah? It's a famous question. What do you mean, ben shmona esrei l'chuppah? We discussed this in the afternoon kollel when we learned Kiddushin. I don't know how many of you were with us back when we learned Maseches Kiddushin together, but we learned, what do you mean? A boy becomes obligated in mitzvos. I underlined here conveniently, ben shlosh esrei l'mitzvos. At 13, you're obligated in mitzvos. We don't say 13 is mitzvos, but a little of an esrei, good 14. 13 is mitzvos, but emunah is complicated. It's hard to know that a God really exists. Emunah, you have till you're 25, you're 30. You don't get koach till 30. You only get bina at 40, but you're supposed to know with emunah. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Kovetz Mamarim, deals with this question. He says, how could it be? He references, Rav Elchanan references Aristotle. He says, how could it be Aristotle, a great philosopher, struggled, debated, analyzed, inquired, plumbed the depths of wisdom in order to try to find out, is there a God, is there providence, is there a being, a creator? But yet this little pitzkala, this 12 or 13-year-old who've experienced nothing in life, who have no wisdom in life, who've accomplished nothing in life, yet at 12 or 13, they're supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of bitachon, emunah, dveikus. How could it be? And Rav Elchanan gives a fantastic answer in Kovetz Ma'amarim. We can explore it in another context. But here the Mishnah says, 13, you're obligated in everything, and yet Shmona Esrei, chuppah, wedding, is singled out, 18. You have till 18 to get married. Why 18? What happened to other mitzvahs you're all obligated in at 13? So here the Mishnah delineates 13. It tells us, by the way, again, cognitively and therefore pedagogically, the development educationally, curriculum-wise, 5 years old Chumash, 10 years old Mishnah, 15 years old Gemara. There is a system in Israel today, the Zilberman system, that follows this formula. I have a nephew who's a big budding Talmud Chacham who's learning in that yeshiva in Yerushalayim in the Old City, and they follow that system. They literally learn of Tanakh, all of Mishnah, Gemara, and they follow this formula today in our time in a contemporary way. So the Mishnah says, when does someone become obligated in mitzvos? A boy is obligated at 13. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Ches, Daf Pei, Beis, Amid Beis, says the Amid Aleph says the following. Amar Avuna, Ben Shmona Uben Teisha Mechanchem Osol Shaos. So Tisha B'Av's coming up, but we're not talking about Tisha B'Av, we're talking about Yom Kippur. When a child is 8 or 9 years old, we begin to train them. Fast for a few hours. Go without food for a few hours. There's a concept called discipline, fasting. You're going to encounter it when it comes to Yom Kippur, Midoraisa, Tisha B'Av, Midorabanan, and on minor fast days. So the 8 or 9 year old is already trained. A few hours go without food. Ben Esser, Ben Achas, Esrei Mashlim, and Midorabanan. 10 and 11 year old already are obligated Midorabanan rabbinically to complete the fast. Ben Shteim, Esrei Mashlim, and Midoraisa. 12 year old completes the fast under biblical law. Bitinokas, and all this applies to the case of a girl, 8 and 9. And 10 and 11. Rav Nachman Omar, Ben Teisha, Ben Esser, Mechanchim, Asa L'Shoos, a 9 or 10 year old for a few hours, an 11 or 12 year old completes the fast rabbinically, and 13 completes the fast mid-Oraisa biblically, and that applies to Tinoch. We're talking about a boy. So the boy and the girl are off by a year. The girl starts to train at 8 or 9. At 10 or 11, Midrabanan, she should fast fully. And at 12, she's mid-Oraisa. She's treated like any other adult, and she's held accountable to fully fast. The boy begins at 9 or 10, at 11 or 12 completes the fast midrabbanan rabbinically, and a 13-year-old midoraisa is treated like any other man. This is codified in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tov Reish Tazayin. Shulchan Aruch here is talking about HaKatana Masa Yaschil El Hesanos, minors, when do they begin to fast? And the Shulchan Aruch tells us the following. Katan Ben Teisha Shanim Amon Siv Beis. A Katan Habari, a healthy minor, Ben Teisha Shanim Shlemos, who's 9 complete years, or Eser Shanim Shalim was 10 complete years, Mechanchim Osa L'Shaos. The mitzvah of Chinuch kicks in, and the mitzvah of Chinuch, the obligation of educating, of training our children, demands that we begin to acclimate or accustom them to the concept of holding back, to the custom of fasting. Upon whom is the mitzvah of Chinuch? Again, not for now. I like to just, give you some appetizers out here. But who is the mitzvah of Chinuch? Is the mitzvah of Chinuch on the parent to train the child, or is the mitzvah of Chinuch a obligation that the child has, an obligation in mitzvos, not the same obligation as the adult, but an obligation midin chinuch? How do you understand the mitzvah chinuch? Not for now. Maybe we'll get into it if we do next time the concept of baruch shepiterani. So Kate said, "Hayaragil lecho b'shtei shos b'yom achilun osa b'sholosh. Hayaragil lecho b'sholosh machilun osa b'arba." When they normally begin to eat, you start them a little bit later. Afikoach haben masivan lanos osa b'sholosh. V'adin l'ktana bria. According to the strength of this minor boy or this minor girl, you train them to not eat, assuming they're healthy. Today, our minhag, says the Shulchan Aruch, is at 11 years old, whether a boy or a girl, they should fully fast. Why? At 11 years old, you should be training. A girl's a year before becoming a bas mitzvah. He's already on his way soon to becoming a bar mitzvah. The Yeshomer comes to Ramah and jumps in. Midrabanan, even midrabanan, there's no obligation to complete a fast before your time. When it comes to Yom Kippur, these things go together. Whatever age you already begin to train not to eat, you also begin to train the other inuyim, the other components of Yom Kippur, of the 5 inuyim, of the 5 afflictions. In terms of leather shoes, in terms of anointing, in terms of bathing, and so on. At 12 in a day, or 13 in a day, and they also not only have shanim, they not only have the years, but they have simanim. They also are bringing the signs of puberty. So if you have shanim v'simanim, you are 13 in a day, or 12 in a day, and there are the signs of puberty, then you are a full-fledged, bona fide adult, obligated equally in all mitzvos, and you're obligated to complete the fast midoraisa. But even if you have years, the calendar shows that you've reached the age of maturity, but your body does not reflect it. Adayin ketanamim, you remain a minor, ve'ena mashlimin el midivrei sofrim. And at that point where you have years, but you don't have sign or symbol, then you are rabbinically obligated. And even if you're weak, but now you're considered like an adult rabbinically, and you have to complete. Why does that rabbinic mitzvah kick in then? Because once you have years, we are concerned, maybe in fact you did show the signs of puberty, maybe you did grow hairs, however the hairs fell out, and therefore you now can't see them, but you did once have them, and therefore we're concerned, maybe you had the simanim in addition to the shanim, you are a full-fledged gadol, even though your body doesn't reflect it now, and therefore midrabanan you're obligated. So here the Shulchan Aruch Tav Reish Tazayin codifies what we saw in the Gemara Yuma Pei Beis, that At 12, a girl is a bat mitzvah. At 13, a boy is a bar mitzvah. There is an aspect of chinuch that precedes it. And from when do you begin to train is subject to debate, is subject to machlokas. But at 12, she's a bas mitzvah, she's obligated midoraisa. At 13, he's a bar mitzvah. You become a full-fledged adult, obligated in all mitzvahs at that age. Now the question is, why? Why were these ages chosen? Why 12 and 13? What is different? First of all, why are these ages chosen in general? And second of all, why is there a difference in the ages between a boy and a girl? The Tshuvas HaRash, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, Berachat Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Niyem B'dvaro. The Rosh writes, the Tshuva, Sha'alta Me'ayin Lanu Davar, Deben Yud Gimel Shanav Yom Echad, Hu Ben Aron Shun, Avapachas Mekein Lo, Da, Ki Alacha L'Moshe Misinai Hu. So the Tshuvas HaRash, the Rosh says, don't try to understand, don't try to analyze, don't try to measure what does it reflect 12 and 13. Know that these ages, 12 and 13, are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's part of our tradition. Kadosh Baruch Hu told it to Moshe on the top of Har Sinai. He came down and he said, don't look for the Pasuk, and don't try to understand the psychology of it. Don't explore the Tam. No, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That is the opinion of the Rush. However, there are other opinions of where you learn it from. One says the use of the word ish when it comes to the story in source number 5. Bereishis Lamed Daled tells us the story of Shimon and Levi. Vayi bayom ha'shlishi biyosem ko'avim vayichu shnei b'nei yankev Shimon v'Levi achei dina ish charbo vayavo al ir betach vayahargu kol zachar. We know the story. Dina is kidnapped, she's captured, Dina, hashtag me too, is violated, and the brothers don't sit back, they don't look the other way, they don't neglect her plight, but they stand up, and not only they stand up, they don't get angry, they get even. What do? They say to Shechem, Ben Hamor, who falls in love with Dina, oh, you want to marry our sister, what a beautiful shidduch, skip the resume, skip the shadchan, it's a beautiful shidduch, not only this shidduch, we can expand and make more shidduchim between Shechem and between Klal Yisrael. There's one thing that you have to do. You need to have a bris milah. Undergo a bris. And when you are a full-fledged member of the Jewish people, undergo the bris. Then we can hear, read the shiduchim. Then we can integrate together as one. They are compelling. Shechem undergoes. Es chamor v'shechem b'nao hargu l'fichara v'yichiru dinam b'shechem v'yetzeu. So what do they do? Bahi b'yom ha'shlishi, the third day after the bris. We know the third day after surgery is the most painful, the most vulnerable, the most fragile in the recovery process. On that third day, Shimon and Levi stand up, ish charbo. Torah goes out of its way to say, each took out his sword. Why didn't it just say they took their sword? Why ish, the word ish charbo, each of these men, gibor, each of these men took out their sword and they avenge their sister's honor. They slaughter Chamor, Shechem, they slaughter everybody when they are the most vulnerable. A brilliant, brilliant plan. Not so brilliant for Yaakov Avinu, who at Parshas Vayechi ends up telling Shimon and Levi, you are impetuous and impulsive, and you risked all of our safety and well-being. You made a terrible mistake. Now, did they make a terrible mistake objectively? Or was Yaakov concerned that strategically it was a mistake? Because they put the Shiftei Ka, Klal Yisrael, in a vulnerable position. That is a subject of debate. I think we talked about this recently in another context. The Maharami Prague talks about collective punishment. What are the ethics of the fact that Shimon and Levi wiped out the people of Shechem? It was only Shechem ben Chamor who did this to Dina. So what were the ethics of wiping out? There's a concept called collective punishment. Somebody's harboring terrorists in their neighborhood. Can you simply drop a bomb on the whole neighborhood? What are the ethical implications of collective punishment? So the Maharami Prague in Gur Aryeh, in his commentary on Rashi, on this pasuk, talks about the fact that why it might be. And we explored several reasons. Again, not for now. Why are we bringing it up here? What does it have to do with bar and bat mitzvah? Because some point out it's not a coincidence. Source number 6. By Deber Hashem Moshe Lemar Dabar Bnei Yisrael. Ish o isha. Ki yasu mikochatos ha'adam limol mal bashem. V'ashma ha'nefesh ha'hi. The Torah here talks about sin. Chet. Accountability. Consequences. Indiscretion. Violation. A man or woman who commits any man's sins, treachery towards Hashem, that person becomes guilty. They have to confess. Here's what they have to do. So how does the Torah introduce this section of telling us that if a person makes a mistake, it doesn't just say, Yasu mikol chata sa'adam, it says, Ish o isha. So you see, what is the age that you become, Ish o isha, liable for your mistakes? The same age Shimon and Levi were when they avenged Dina. And how old were Shimon and Levi when they avenged Dina? When Ish charbo, they were 13 years old, bar mitzvah boys. So you see that when are you bar mitzvah? When are you accountable for your actions? When are you kiyasu, you call chatos ha'adam? When are you accountable for your mistakes? When you are the same ish of Shimon and Levi, namely, when you are 13 years old. We also have a medrash, Bereishis Rabbah, source number 7. Vayigdal hayad vayigamal. The pasuk says the child grew and he was weaned. Rav Hoshaya Rabbah, Amar nigmal miyetzahara. Rabbanon amrei nigmal mechalavo. What does this mean? What are we talking about? Avram and Yitzchak. Avram made a party. When Yitzchak was weaned, Avram made a party. Here you have the commentary on the Medrash Rabbah on the bottom of source number 7, the bottom of page 2. And it says the following, Hoshai Rabbah Amar, Kishamar HaKasa Vayigdal Reish Anasa Gadol. What does it mean, Vayigdal? He became a Gadol. So how old was Yitzchak when Avram made this party? It was not the bris party, it was a bar mitzvah party. Ben Shlosh Yisrael Shana Shlemim. V'yaz Asa Avram is a Mishtar Gadol. The child grew old, vayigdal. He reached the age of independence, of maturity, and vayigamal, he was weaned, off the payroll. Imagine you turn to your 13 and 12 year olds, you're off the payroll. Get your own health insurance, get your own roof over your head, get your own Amazon Prime account, you're off the payroll. So in the case of, at that time, much younger, you were expected to be off the payroll, to be independent. Vayigdal, Yitzchak was mature. Vayigamal, and he was weaned. And what did Avram do? He made a party. So one opinion of the Medrash is Miyetzahara, that's the age that a person is able to not, doesn't have the defense. Well, I can't overcome it, I can't take it. Is not under the rule of the dominion of the Yetzahara. They can fight the Yetzahara. They have maturity to fight the Yetzahara. Or the other opinion is Mechalavo, that they're no longer being weaned. Here means weaned from being nursed. So you see that this medrash, at least the first opinion in the medrash, Miyetzahara, the first opinion is assuming Vayigdal refers to the age of bar mitzvah. So far we have the Rosh who says, how do we know the ages of bar and bat mitzvah? From Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's a tradition. Don't try to explore or understand it too much. Second opinion is Ish. Shimon and Levi were Ish when they stood up for Dina. Ish when you are liable for your Mikol Chatos, from your sins, 13 years old. The third opinion is from Avram and Yitzchak, 13 years old. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Tesamad Aleph, source number 8. To Bechizki Atana, the Brisa was taught, V'chi Yazid Ish, if a man will act intentionally against his fellow to harm him, to kill him, Ish Mezid Umazria, Vein katan mezid umazria. Again, we see the use of the word ish. When we see the word ish as opposed to a yelid or a na'ar, an ish is talking about a mature man. An ish is talking about a gadol, someone who reached the age of majority. So, when are you an ish? Says the Gemara. You know when you're an ish? Ish mezid umazria. You're an ish when you can reproduce. You're an ish when your body has reached such a level of puberty and maturity and development that your body can create another body. That's what makes you an ish. It's a physiological, it's a biological, an anatomical description. You are an ish, ish mezid umazria. You can cook up sperm seed, and that sperm can impregnate. It can conceive. And that is the age that determines that you are a majority. So essentially, our level of holding you accountable and responsible is commensurate with your ability to do the greatest act known to man, which is to reproduce. The greatest way that we emulate Hashem, the greatest expression of creativity, of creation, of the closest we come to something from nothing, although it's not from nothing, God gives us the ingredients, please God, if one's healthy, ingredients that work, and we daven for those who are so desperate for the ingredients to work and to bring a child into the world, Hashem should give them children and grandchildren with lots of nachas from them. But here, the Gemara says, Sanhedrin, that why is 12 and 13? Because that's when the body, and it has to be, it makes a lot of sense, and that's what the Alei Shor says. Zoktor Shlomo Volbe, in his Alei Shor Chelik Aleph, says Rav Volbe the following, Kishin is bonin behis paschos hativis nochach ladas, ki shtei yechidos mahovus ha'adam echad, mibchinas toy ha'guf, hini yechida sheyeches la'adam atzmo. Toy ha'guf ha'misra b'mirega horasa b'ktav adir, heim ha'bonim es ha'guf, you have your physiological, your body, your physical development. We each have our own DNA. We're unique expressions in this world. We have the period of gestation in the mother's womb and the 20 years of growth and maturity outside of it. So even though on the one hand we are developing independently, we also carry within us the predispositions of our genetics. We have the genetics of those who came before us. If you're Ashkenazi, you're going to have a tough GI time. If you're from a different country, maybe chas v'shalom, there are predispositions for genetic illnesses, diseases. Maybe one is even predisposed towards genetic advantages. People have genetic advantages physically, genetic advantages intellectually, cognitively. And we have to take those genetic advantages, preserve them and pass them and pay them forward. A person becomes a boger. You become a mature young person. So when you can create continuity from you, when there can be, you can perpetuate, when you can have, you could literally create the fruit of your loins, quite literally, a continuation from your seed, that is the age of maturity. That is the age of majority. See, when you're a little kid, you say, I want this. When you're a little kid, you cry till you get what you want. When you're a little kid, you soil your diaper. You can't even make your way to a bathroom. When you're a little kid, you can grab food that belongs to someone else and you suck on that lollipop and you eat candy in the middle of the night and you don't brush your teeth. When you're a little candy, it's what you want. Me, 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 I, narcissistic, selfish person. What does it mean to mature? Ta'alichim elu begufa machshirnas liyos av lebanim. Molid dor chadash. What it means to mature is to be able to not only care about yourself, not only to turn inward and selfishly and narcissistically, but the capacity to see others, the capacity to care for others. That's what it means to be mature. Es ha'chaim shu kibo mishashalas ha'shutfin av v'ima u'boro, hino mitzuva limso l'dor haba, shuv im shnei ha'shutfin. You merited to get life from the three partners who provided life to you, your mother, your father, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the senior partner. And now you take that privilege. Talk about privilege. I wrote an article about privilege last week. Jewish privilege. Privilege is not a dirty word. We should be proud of our privilege and teach our children to be proud of our privilege. Not a privilege that entitles, but a privilege that creates a sense of responsibility. So the privilege that we are have existence, which is the result of the partners who came before us, our mother, our father, and Hashem, we pay it forward by partnering again now with a wife and with Hashem to bring another child, the next generation. See, every person needs to know that from the moment that his reproductive organs begin to develop, he's no longer living a personal private state of existence. These physical processes enable him to be a parent or of children, a progenitor of a new generation, father, mother, and creator, and pay that and pass that forward. Preparation from the great responsibility of parent begins from the initial moments of sexual maturation. The young person even understands you will be a parent to children. So the Alei Shor Rav Ob develops this idea. It's not arbitrary. It's not that, well, we need to pick a day. We need to pick an age. So from what age are you responsible? I don't know. Let's just call it from when you compare. No, it's much more intrinsic. It's much more inherent. It's much more philosophical. From the age that you're mature enough to be able to bring people into this world, from the age you can take that responsibility, you can also take the responsibility for yourself. When your body tells you that it's capable of reproducing, it's also capable of responsibility psychologically and emotionally. And if you can be a progenitor, if you can create continuity, it means you can also take responsibility towards that continuity. So that is reason number four. The Rosh says Halacha Moshe Mesinai, Ish Ish from Shimon and Levi. We saw Vayigdal Hayelah Vayigamal. Reason number four is it corresponds with the body. So why the girl at 12 and the boy at 13? So the Torah Tamim, Maravarcha Levi Epstein, Zok the Torah Tamim, Biadua, Kibes Chazkos Kochos Haguf, Mischazkos Kochos HaNefesh. Mekeven Shimon Maheres Lahavi Koch Haguf, Maheres Gam Bekoch HaNefesh, Dahainu Bina Vesechel. Says the Torah Tamima, we know that the body and the soul go together. So to whatever degree the soul is maturing, so too the timeline of the maturation of the body follows. Girls, we all know, have an advanced level of emotional and spiritual maturity before a boy. So just like emotionally they mature before a boy, so too physically they mature before a boy. This also comes, where did the Torah Tamima get this from? He got it from Rashi. Rashi Ksubas Daf Nun. Rashi writes there, Shehim im maheres lavi koach, she'enem ateshes koach b'li min ha'teira. Why is it that a woman has greater strength and the strength accelerates her sense of maturing, both physically and emotionally. Relationship to Torah, we know we have a tradition, Torah makechesh kochel shel adam, that Torah weakens a person, it sucks the energy, the amount a person has to invest in Torah. This week's parsha, meimis aleha on Torah, that it kills us, it literally takes all of our energy. So her relationship, at least in that time, with the formal study of Torah was different. She was able to preserve energy differently, and therefore she matures both emotionally and physically faster. And that's why a girl is at 12, says the Torah Tamima, and a boy is at 13. Now it's interesting to note, the Rambam here also, the Rambam in Perish HaMishnayas on Nida, the Rambam is commentary on the Mishnah, and Nida writes, V'asu gila nekevas, la'onas nadarim lamata migila gvarim, shiyimei chayim pachas migaye gvarim ala rov. The Rambam says that women have a life expectancy that is longer than men. So therefore, the women have a become bat mitzvah earlier. Their response earlier. Now interestingly, I have here on the left, I found, women are outliving men in every country in the world. According to the latest U.S. report, life expectancy for ladies is 81.2 years, compared to 76.4 years for men. But even though the fact that women are outliving men has become widely accepted as the norm, a new study, researchers show the difference in survival rate is actually a relatively recent phenomenon beginning in the 20th century. So, I'm sorry, I had it backwards about the Rambam. The Rambam says women live shorter than men, and that's why they have the age of responsibility earlier. A girl becomes bat mitzvah at 12 and a boy at 13. Why? She mei chayeim pachos mi mei chaye hagvarim. So here, even though the study says that men live shorter than women, that is a relatively recent phenomenon. For most of history, for centuries and millennia, women lived shorter than men. Today, men live shorter than women. I won't say the old Jewish joke. Why do men and women die before their wives? Everybody knows this joke. I won't say it. Well, so today, men are dying before their wives. Women, 81.2 years. Men, 76.4 years. But the Rambam, who lived in the 12th century, is referencing in his time, and for centuries following, women died younger and earlier. And that's why the Rambam says, Bas Mitzvah is 12 and Bar Mitzvah is 13. So let's go again. I know we keep reviewing, but we're summarizing. The Mishnah Navo said, boys are Bar Mitzvah 13. And the Gemara in Yuma elaborated the age that you become obligated to fast on Yom Kippur. Girls are obligated to fast at Bas Mitzvah. Boys are obligated to fast at Bar Mitzvah 12 and at 13. Why? The Rosh says, Halacha Moshe Sinai. A second reason we saw is, Ish Ish, Shimon and Levi with 13 when they avenged their sister. You see, that's when you're accountable for your chataim. You see, you're responsible at the age of 13. Reason number three, Vayigdal Yitzchak Vayigamal. Yitzchak grew and was weaned. 13 years old, his bar mitzvah party. Reason number four, the body begins to be able to mature, the body begins to reproduce, and Rav Volba's expansion on that explanation, reason number four. Reason number five, girls mature faster than boys, and therefore they're at 12, and boys are at 13. Okay, next Medrash Rabbah, source number 13. The Medrash Rabbah here says the following, Vayigdalu ha-ne'arim, Mashal ha-hadas v'itzvoni shal yigdelim za'aga be'zeh, v'kevin shigdilu v'frichu zenos n'recha v'zeh kochocho, kach yud gimel shana, shneim hochen le'beis ha-sefer, shneim barim be'beis ha-sefer, l'achar yud gimel shana, zeh ha-yaholich le'batei medrashos, zeh ha-yaholich le'batei avodos kochavim. So what do we mean the boys grew? This is talking about Yaakov and Esav, Vayigdalu ha-ne'arim. Rivka gives birth, Yaakov and Esav are growing, and now they become differentiated. And the Medrash here explains that. Just like you have these two bushes that grow side by side, and when they're young, they seem identical. But 13 years in, now they're differentiated, now we understand how they're different. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Tzarech Adon Lehitapa Bebino Adyim Gimel Shana, Mikan Ve'elech, Tzarech Sheyamar Baruch Shepetarani Me'onsho Shalzeh. For the first 13 years of a boy's life, he's your responsibility. Educate, model, teach, bail him out, ride in your helicopter, and take good care of him. For 13 years, he is a reflection of you. But at the end of the 13 years, you've given him all you've got. You have modeled, you've invested, you've taught. And now, Baruch Shepetarani Me'ansho Shalzeh. God, blessed are you who has freed me from the responsibility of this boy. We, by the way, say it without shame or malchus. A father stands at the bar mitzvah, gets his first aliyah, and he says, Baruch Shepetarani. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, holds that you say it b'shem u'malchus. That's source number 15. But we do not. Shulchan Aruch, source 14. The Rama quotes this tradition. Yesh omer mishenase b'no bar mitzvah, yivarach b'orchat Hashem l'kenem l'acholom shepetarani yon shosho zeh, v'tov l'varach b'lo shem u'malchus. The Rama quotes, but it's better to say it without Hashem's name. The father just says, Baruch Shepetarani yon shosho zeh. You don't say Hashem's name. Why? So the reason is, the Rama's reason is, because this bracha does not appear in the Gemara. It's not in the Mishnah, it's not in the Gemara. The only reference to it is in the Medrash. and therefore, because it doesn't have a source in the Mishnah or Gemara, it's not a bona fide bracha, and therefore it's not an authoritative bracha. You say it without Shema Malchus, that's why the father makes the bracha without God's name. Baruch Shepetaranami Anshe Shazeh. The Vilna Gaon disagrees, source 15. And the Gron, his commentary in Shulchan Aruch, writes, Bizman Shabino Nasa Bar Mitzvah Ukra Batorah, Hayim Avarach Alav, Baruch Atah Hashem Alakenu Melech Olam, Asher Petarani, V'chein Yisa B'mordechai Agadol, Baruch Hazu B'Shem U'Malchus, V'chein Iker. So he quotes an opinion of the Mari Sagal, who said the bracha with Hashem's name, the Mordechai similarly, V'chein Iker, and the Gra concludes, V'chein Iker, that is the correct practice, to say Baruch Shem Petarani with Hashem's name altogether. We don't follow the Gra in our time. We generally, for the most part, do not follow the Gra. We omit Hashem's name, Baruch Shem Petarani. But where does it come from, the idea of saying Baruch Shem Petarani? The origin of saying Baruch Shem Petarani is saying, I'm only responsible for the first 13 years of this boy's life. Afterwards, I don't bear that responsibility. Why? For the reason we saw in the Mishnah at Avos and the Gemara in Yuma. Because I'm only responsible till they become a gadol. When they've reached the age of majority, they're a bona fide, full-fledged, equal adult, and now each one is responsible for themselves. I always tell the bar and bat mitzvah boys I meet with them, now negotiate a later bedtime. Your parents are no longer responsible. You still have to listen to them. You still have to honor them. However, you're an adult. And being an adult, membership has privileges. You remember the old American Express ad? Membership has its privileges. That's what I used to, my spiel for Bar and Bas Mitzvah kids. I say membership has its privileges. Now you count in a minyan, you count in a zimun, you could lead the daven, you could get an aliyah, you can negotiate a better later bedtime. Membership has privileges. You know what else membership has? The old American Express ads didn't tell you that membership also has responsibility. They just told you, you know, you flash that American Express card, you could get in here, you could get in there, you can go there. What they forgot to tell you is at the end of every month you got a bill in the mail and you have to pay the bill. You have to pay the piper. So similarly, membership as a adult in Klal Yisrael has privileges, but it also has responsibility. You got to pay the bill. So when your child is under 12 and under 13, you pay the bill of their mistakes. Once they reach 12 or 13, Baruch Shepetarani Me'anshal Shazeh, I'm changing the card into your name. Now, kid, you pay the bill. That's essentially what Baruch Shepetarani means. Your mistakes, your indiscretions, now you pay the bill. I'm changing the bill into your name. Okay, so we saw the origin of why 12 or 13. We saw several reasons for why those ages are chosen from Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Cognitively, emotionally, physically, we saw why girls are 12 and boys are 13. And it's reflected in our not having to take responsibility for them. The Zohar in Bereishis, source 16. Hahu yoma chavsa al tzadikai lemi'avir chedvasa d'liba ki yoma desalik l'chupa. The day of the bar mitzvah, a tzaddikaya, a righteous person, should rejoice deliba in his heart as the day of a wedding. And on account of that, if you're willing to celebrate with great joy and great excitement the welcoming of a child to the age of bar mitzvah, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu is destined to awaken them and to proclaim before them, Tzenu Rena Benos Tzion, go out and see the daughters of Tzion. So the Zohar already makes reference to the joy. It's a simcha. It's not just a milestone. You know, lahavdil, the day a kid gets their driver's license, I don't know, my kids, they mark it on the calendar. You have to go on their birthday, not the next day, even if it's not convenient for you. They mark it, ooh, wow, they get a license to get their permit. What a simcha. What a joy. What a day of simcha. So too, lahavdil, the day you become opportunity to fulfill mitzvahs on a daraisa level, ooh, wow, such simcha, chedvasa, the simcha, the joy, the chedva that comes. What a party, the Zohar says, one should feel a great sense of simcha. Okay, that is the Zohar. So therefore, because there's that sense of simcha, we make a party. We make a party. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us, Daf Lamed Aleph Amad Aleph. Amar of Yosef, Meresh Hava Amina. Let me make it a little bigger. Meresh Hava Amina. At first, I used to say Rav Yosef was blind. So Rav Yosef says, you know, I used to believe that a person who would say that a blind person is exempt from mitzvos, I'd make a holiday. Why? Because that would mean I'm blind, I'm not commanded. And yet I voluntarily do the mitzvos. So imagine, originally I thought that if someone would say that I'm not obligated in mitzvos, and yet I volunteer to do them, imagine the reward, imagine the merit, imagine the love from Hashem. I'd make a party. I'd make a big simcha, a big barbecue for the rabbis, everyone to the home whack for the weekend. But hash the shamisa lahada amar of Chanina, God o mitzvah vosa, yosem mishen o mitzvah vosa. But now that I've learned Rabbi Chanina, I was wrong in my assumption. Now that I've come to learn that in fact you get greater reward when you're obligated than when you volunteer, adraba! Now I'll make a big party for the one who says that I am exempt. Because if you're exempt and you volunteer, I'm sorry, for the one who says I'm obligated. Because if you're exempt and you volunteer, you get less reward than if you're obligated. So now it's the one who concludes that I, as a blind person, am obligated, I'll make a big yontif. We all go to the Humwack, we're going on the Chazan cruise on me to celebrate the fact that the conclusion is I'm obligated, because the one obligated gets a bigger reward. Why should that be? Why is it that the one who's obligated gets a bigger reward than the one who's not obligated? Wouldn't you think it's the opposite? You're volunteering. Psh, person who volunteers, who doesn't have to, but nevertheless chooses to, shouldn't it logically be that they get a greater reward? So there are many answers are given, but the classic answer is the following. I always give this mushel. You know, imagine my wife and I go out. Today you have to use your imagination to think that my wife and I could go out. So imagine my wife and I go out, and lo and behold, we come home, and the kids surprised us. They cleaned the whole kitchen. They cleaned their rooms. Psh. They were driven by the goodness of their own heart. They wanted to put a smile on their parents' face, and therefore, voluntarily, without anyone asking, they cleaned their own room. Now imagine we go out and we say, kids, we're going out, and here's the deal. By the time we come home, your room better be clean, and the sinks better be done, the kitchen, the dishes in the sink better be done, and here's the consequence if you don't. You are obligated. We're obligating in you by the time we come home to have cleaned the house. So which one deserves the greater reward? The ones who volunteered to do it, or the ones who did it because they were told they have to? So again, I would have thought that volunteering deserves a greater reward, but in fact it's the opposite. Why? Because when you volunteer to do something, you have your own internal drive, your own internal satisfaction. You have the joy from the fact that you chose to do it. When you're asked and commanded, you may have no interest in doing it. You have no motivation to do it. You'd rather, and you'd give anything in the world not to do it, and yet you could do it nonetheless. You deserve the greater reward. And that's why Gadol HaMetzuvah Me'osa, Mishe'en HaMetzuvah Me'osa. The one who's obligated gets a greater reward. So Rav Yosef, who is blind, says, I'll make a yomtif for the rabbis who conclude, now that I know that we paskin like the opinion that a blind person is obligated in mitzvos, I'll make a yomtif for those rabbis. Why? Because I get a greater reward now that I know I'm obligated than if I were volunteering. Comes along Rav Shlomo Luria, the Maharshal, the great Yamsha Shlomo, and the Yamsha Shlomo writes, Usu'udas bar mitzvah she'os ma'ashkenazim l'chor ha'in l'chasudas mitzvah gedola mizu b'shama yuchiyach aleha. There's no greater sudas mitzvah than a bar mitzvah. And the name Shema Yochiach, the name bar mitzvah, because you're making a party for now the fact that this child is a bar mitzvah. He's now subject to mitzvah. And here in this long comment he writes, a party is conducted, you praise and you thank Hashem, and enables this child to become obligated to mitzvahs, and it is greater to be commanded to do something. Gadol HaMetzuvah Ve'oseh. Last year, last month, last week, yesterday, this kid was volunteering to do mitzvos. It's nice, it's lovely. But we saw Gadol HaMetzuvah Ve'oseh. It's even greater to do a mitzvah because you're obligated. So to celebrate the child coming of age and now celebrating the mitzvah from the position of being obligated, oh, now we make a party. So the Yamsha Shlomo, the Maharshal, concludes, if you make a bar mitzvah party, then in fact it has the status, the halachic status, of a suda's mitzvah. It's not just a suda. Now, it doesn't have to be themed based on sports or celebrities or theme parks. There's no mitzvah. I'm not even sure there's a rishus. Today it has been said that bar mitzvahs in some cases are more bar than they are mitzvah. But I assume that they're more mitzvah than they are bar, then they have the status of a suda's mitzvah. That is how the Yamsha Shlomo paskens. All right, so we'll stop here. We'll pick it up next week. I will continue with this idea. Where does it come from? Bar and bat mitzvah. Baruch Shepaterani. First of all, is a bas mitzvah as equally significant? Is that a modern invention, innovation? Why do we only say Baruch Shepaterani for a boy and we don't say it for a girl? There's a lot more to talk about here in this context, but we will end off and leave it here for now.